I didn't want to jump the gun in getting her involved until we know more about her. On the other hand, if somebody could work with Marcia, that probably would be the simplest formula. One of our Marianne Catechists would work with Marcia and talk to you and find out, you know, where she comes from, how she thinks. There may be some shift in her thinking, but part of my job is to help people think straight too. So, okay. And then, number 8. Now, may I ask, Louise, is it okay with you for the future too?
Okay.
Thank you. Number 9, Carlos Sanchez. So, there's no basic change regarding that, except I don't know whether we've got. We have a section here. Yes, that's number 10. They are depending on us. We're back in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and then number 10, the newsletter. Well, from the post that I've got from Rome now for the last 2 weeks, the idea of a newsletter seems not to be what Rome expects. They expect a magazine, a publication, which would be factual. And of course, it could have some, you know, reflections or whatever, but to be as factual as possible. And in the newsletter, as of today, is the Holy Father's news secretary, a Dr. Navarro. His last name is Navarro. He's very interested in what we're doing. And then the was over to Romano. He's also interested in what we're doing. But see, this is not just that we release some information to Rome on what we're doing, but that we're doing something with Rome somehow backing us. Now, for the next week, input needed of news, information, hard data, not commonly available. Now, by the time Cardinal Sanchez comes to Chicago, which is 2 weeks from this coming Friday, 2 weeks from tomorrow, in fact, you see, and this is, we mentioned this, now may I ask, has anyone done anything regarding information or data? Now, this is where I'm not surprised, but I think I should be very frank. See, it's one thing to talk about things, something else to do them. And this, obviously, is to be done. So, now it may be, and this would crush me to think of it, it may be that the group we've got here is not the answer. It may be. And what may have spoiled it is the fact we've been having these catechetical meetings, you see, and, I do the talking as I'm mostly doing now, and, there's something learned, and there's so much to learn, but, in other words, we're in a different vehicle now. Now, in shifting gears, we're in a different vehicle. And next week, input needed of news, information, hard data not commonly available. Lewis.
Father, regarding that, I've been trying behind the scenes to contact some Hispanic organizations.
Please.
Regarding what you did.
The thing is, and this is one conditioning that in general, most Catholics in our country have been shaped. And this is what I'm going to share with you now is very basic to our whole future. Catholics in America have for centuries, certainly for the last 200 years, have been conditioned to what I would call ecclesiastical dependence. Ecclesiastical dependence on whom? Well, on those who are in charge of the church. In other words, bishops and the organizations that are, you know, as we would say, running the church. But that's not the United States today. And it may be, and I want to repeat this, though it pains me to say it, it may be that the present company is not the answer. It may be. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. And in other words, there have to be people who are, and aware is not the right word, who are deeply convinced that without the laity, the Church in the United States cannot be saved. And it's not a cliche. And as I've said more than once, and just to bring it into focus here, we are in schism. In fact, the Church is in schism in the United States. Now, that's not just a word. The USEC, which is running the Church in the United States, they have just put up a new building, as you know, at Catholic University property, $30 million. The USEC is totally, completely, utterly independent of the Pope. Not to know that, of course, that's not just a statement. So that bishops, most bishops, they just, whatever word you use, they're in prison. They're tied down by the structure, even in their own diocese, and let alone outside the diocese. And as far as catechetics goes, see, there's a National Association of Religion Directors, DREs. They are not on the side of the Pope. The National Directors of Religious Education are not on the side of the Pope. But that's not just a statement. That means that what they're propounding or promoting is not the Catholic faith, as is taught by the Vicar of Christ. And consequently, I'd have to share with you 23 years of experience and put it into, say, five sentences, which is ridiculous. And most Catholics, I say, they're just so conditioned, unless the local ordinary does something, or have you clear this with the bishop, though. That's not the... that's not the formula. And especially with catechetics are concerned. So, and back to number 10, input needed of news, information, hard data, and so on, not commonly available. When we meet the Cardinal Sarchis, he's coming to the United States, and I can say this, mainly because of us. And he was here, United States, because of us. I never put it so bluntly before. And in other words, a country like the United States, as far as Holy Father is concerned, the United States, barring a moral miracle, is lost. And I think I'm being recorded. Barring a moral miracle is lost. It's gone so far, so deeply. Diocese after diocese is doing what it pleases. It couldn't care less what the Pope says or thinks. And this, of course, is the country that so many people are finding. For example, I get letters constantly. There, people are willing to travel, and some do travel, over 100 miles to Mass, just to get to a Mass, where they're not scandalized by what's going on at the Mass. So, in other words, what we want, and I didn't start this. Rome involved me, you see. And over the years, I work with people, and so many people that I work with, as long as it's a passive part they play, provided they're getting something, well, then they, oh, well, very dedicated, see. But the moment they're supposed to do something, and most kids don't know what to do, where to turn. In other words, a kind of active initiative which the church needs today. Just psychologically, most Catholics are not shaped that way. Am I making sense?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's why, you know, people ask me, when am I going to organize something? Well, I'm doing what I can. It's not just another, in other words, another pious organization. It's not just another sodality we're organizing. So, now with that homily, would you please? And otherwise, as I say, and I have to say this with deep sincerity, I'll have to look elsewhere. May I not find anybody? Well, then the Lord will call me to my reward, such as I deserve. Done my part. There's work to be done. And Lewis, in other words, you see, it's and for people to depend on, well, who's going to help me? Who's going to? Could you tell us what to do? There has to be that kind of initiative, that kind of, you might say, inner awareness, and not just you're pushed 2 inches, you move 2 inches. You pushed 1 foot, so you move 1 foot. Am I making sense?
Yes, Father.
And, okay. Then number 11. A lending library. Now, where are we on that? I get calls from the O'Connells, and they're ready to have the books shipped. Where are we on the shelves, shelving? Who's going to be in charge?
Bob West.
I'll build the shelves.
Please?
I'll build the shelves.
Now,
go get the books.
Right. Now, may I ask? Regarding the shelving, do they have to be made or bought or what?
Yes, I guess so. I have one down there.
They have to be what?
Yes, they have to be.
Did you say made?
They have to be designed and purchase the material and build them. Yes.
Well, now, the two people that are working in the office with you now, Bob and Eleanor Lentis, they would have come here today. They had planned a meeting with their family, so they couldn't make it. But Bob and Eleanor, they came in 9:30 in the morning and leave at 5:30 in the evening, and working all day. Now Bob bought two rather not the expensive but metal shelving for 4 layers. You know what he paid for? I didn't. He just bought them. What do they cost? Because if necessary, he can go around begging money. See, this is not something for the distant future, because again, these books are waiting. And in fact, Notre Dame Institute, Catechetical Institute, I think I told you, has written, they begged, could we have those books? And we better get them out of Virginia, otherwise they're going to disappear.
I think they were going to come tonight. They might have been one of the ones called. The two men were going to come, and I think they were going to fund the building of the bookcases and do it too.
Correct. Now,
along with Don.
Now, are they at it, or is it just a kind of a plan for the future? What is it?
Well, I bought my tape measure so I can measure it out. I got to go down there and find out about it.
They had plans for using the hallways and your sitting rooms downstairs.
Well, I would say that's. Now, can we, in other words, all I know is I've just dealt with too many people. They form a committee. That committee forms another committee. Then they form an organization that forms a third committee. And these shelves, in other words, is it money you need or what is it?
He volunteered last week to pay for it.
Who's this?
Bob Weiss. Or West and Rocky. And I talked to someone who knows them, and they are planning to build.
They are, use the verb again, they are deciding.
No, they're planning. I mean, it's not deciding. They are working on...
Well, let's make sure. Because the books are in... they're there. They're waiting.
Can we go get the books now?
Please.
The books are ready, but we needed the date that you and the other two would be willing to go down.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what. Now, you people who are living here, and Carol, what if, because it seems to me it would be psychologically, as long as the books are over there and we're here, just to see a pile of books, pardon me, Richard?
We need, I had asked 2 meetings ago for a copy of a list of all the members and with their names, addresses, and phone numbers so we could talk to each other during the week, and I haven't been able to get that list. I don't know who has it.
Yeah, I have most of them. There might be one or two in this group that we don't have, but I do have the phone numbers and addresses of all the
people. Then let's look. Can we by next Wednesday, can we report back on this and both the shelving, what the shelving situation is, and no more planning, or because it's, the books are, they exist.
By the way, she's talking, when she says planning, are they actually like in the process of building it?
Yeah, they've already planned and talked to you about the hallway and the rooms, that the basement was out.
So it doesn't sound like it's just an arbitrary thing. It sounds like they're actually doing something.
What if we did this? Look, you people that were living here, what if we brought the books to Detroit?
Mm-hmm. We're ready.
Is that all? Just to see the books.
Yeah,
see, then our conscience would bother us.
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah. Get the books here.
See, the Lord... In other words, what if we plan, especially you three who are living here?
Yeah. Afterwards.
Okay, yes, because I get called regularly. The Lord's calling, Father, when are we going to? Because they're filling their rooms. They're, see? That's one set of books. Then the library that we took over, and as I say, because people can do things with a good motive, you know, and they could take things, they're not even stealing, because it's a good purpose, you see. We don't want to lose those books. Marian.
I have talked to Dolores about getting the accession books and the card file that goes with the books that are already in the library. Is that going to come with them?
Okay. Let's start bringing the books to Detroit, okay?
Good.
Okay. I'll report on that next week. Then number 12. I've got 824. Is that correct, possible?
20.
Okay. Well, number 12, I didn't expect this, and it was just an oversight on somebody's part. But today, yesterday, at 10 o'clock, I thought by the name of John Jesses, G-S-S-E-S, John Jesses. His mother called me up like today is Wednesday, like Monday night. And she said, I knew you were expecting my son. He's coming in from Iowa, driving. So, well, I must say I did not expect her son. Now, it was a mistake. He was already on his way. So he came. And of course, I was in the hospital, had surgery, and so on. But he stayed on through the day, and then the dentist people, they took him for a meal, so they took care of him until I got to the house. Well, John is, I think, 28 years old, college graduate, and had a conversion, and really wants to serve the Lord. He had worked with a publisher in New York, and this is his business, publishing. And he's decided that he wants to start a company to publish good Kathy books that are out of print. Talk about providence. So, now, of course, the other thing is on a personal level that we talked about. And so he went to New York to meet with Maliki Martin. And so I even gave him Maliki Martin's phone number. In any case, beyond the books in print, I would like to encourage John, and maybe he could even, maybe one of our meetings could come here anytime, that he would do his homework, tell us what he has in mind, what kind of capital he has access to, you see, but to get that thing moving. And also I got a call from Mother Angelica, today's again Wednesday, that was, I think, Saturday when I was out. Then I called her back on Monday. And this is also, she wants to work with us. And she has found out that the Doors of St. Paul, whatever they're publishing from now on, is all in inclusive language. And I also think I told you about their prayer book. I tell you about their prayer book which they published? Mm-hmm. Doors of St. Paul?
No.
You want to weep. It's not just inclusive language, which it is, but it's a beautifully bound prayer book. On Our Lady, Queen of the Apostles, title of the book. And but for example, in the Litany of Our Lady, Our Lady is no longer assumed into heaven. They dropped assumption. And filthy, it's just the most horrendous things they've done. And as you, I think I also told you, see, the Daughters of St. Paul, whom I taught for 5 years, 6 days a month for 5 years, I'd go up to Boston to teach them from New York. And they published about, I mean, 7 or 8 of my books. And, tapes which they market, about 200 tapes, and several hundred other tapes that I made privately for them. And they just removed all of my books from print, everything. And removed all my tapes from print and sent back the original tapes. And for a very small sum to buy, so then between Intermurific in Washington and Kathy Gagnon, they bought up all my unsold books of the Daughters of St. Paul. The Daughters of St. Paul are in a different league than they used to be. And I think I should share this with you because, by the way, some of these things should not be copied, Daniel, okay? Am I clear?
Yes.
But I'm sharing this with you. That when I was teaching there for 5 years up in Boston, I found out what I did not know before, that almost within a month of the death of the founder, Father Alberione, there had been members of the community, both the men and the women, who were not comfortable with his spirituality. They revised the constitutions of their founder, and they're just different constitutions. So the Daughters of St. Paul of the States then had the hard decision to make whether they would remain members of the international community. I worked with them, and they did remain members of the large community. But most of the Daughters of St. Paul outside the United States have gone mad. You never recognize some of the Daughters of St. Paul in other countries, dressed in secular clothes. You follow me? In any case, Mother Angelica asked, you know, what can we do because we've depended on the Daughters of St. Paul. So my recommendation to her was to, maybe start a publishing house or something of our own, because there are so many good books that should be available. So that's number 12. Number 13, question and answer of the catechism. Please pray he is able to finish. Thanks if you pray, because I really need to. Every minute is time consuming. Reference service. Jeffrey Mirus, by the way, is spelled M-I-R-U-S, and is wide open. Now, my question, as you can gather from the way I'm talking, my question is, with these massive enterprises, these are huge apostolates, any one of which is enough for, you know, a group to be organized in, that we're not as though the missionaries, as though the Marian Nation catechists would run all of this. That would be nonsense. You see, there's too much here. However, what I'm hoping is that from among the people here, that there will be certain enterprises that will be started, and if necessary, either part of a larger enterprise already in existence, or form an organization. In other words, there is work to be done, and my concept of both the Marian and Nation catechists is not that they would be doing some one job. Those are not my directions from Rome. It is rather to find dedicated, highly dedicated lay people who then will be leaders in promoting catechetics. Am I making sense? There are things going to encourage them, to help them, to assist, rather than we ourselves do all the work, which is ridiculous. Mary.
Has Jeffrey Nieris contacted...
Please?
Has Jeffrey Nieris and Ed Clark contacted each other?
Are they in contact?
Yeah.
They are?
Are they?
I don't think so.
They might be two to put together.
That could help. Then Dave Armstrong, I don't talk to absentee people. So now if Dave has to be coaxed to come here, well, then we'll pray for Dave. I receive him into the church. But then somebody else. Now, some of these things, they may not be people, as I said earlier, who are... It's not a question of being professionally equipped to do these things. It's to advance, promote, encourage, put in contact with. But our job, our role is to work with the people in Rome and find those who are willing to promote sound catechetics in the church and provide them with such counsel, direction, encouragement. Where needy, financial assistance to obtain this large part of my work, any financial assistance for enterprises that the church needs. And it's, well, it must be after 8:30.
8:33.
Yes, Heart of Redeemer books downstairs for anyone who wants to buy them. That's a book by Dr. Timothy O'Donnell on the Sacred Heart. And the regular cost is what, 15 something?
$14.50? I think you're about $14.
Okay. And we got a 40% discount?
Close, they're $9.35.
$9.35. I would recommend any of you that, shall I use the word, can afford to buy a copy of that book. And the reason is twofold. First of all, with the Missionaries of Charity in Detroit, I wasn't there yesterday for obvious reasons, but I will be there on Tuesday. That's when I meet them. And some of you, Mary, you come, some people do come. Daniel, when you're available, you come to the meetings. The Missionaries of Charity, four of them in the community, and, well, 5 to 10 or so lay people, maybe sometimes more, come. And what I'm doing is teaching the theology of devotion to the Sacred Heart. And this devotion is part of our constitutions. In other words, to promote not just the devotion qua devotion, but devotion qua theology, understanding the devotion of the Sacred Heart. The best book in print that I know of was written by Tim O'Donnell, and his doctoral thesis, he's a layman, has a growing family, but doctoral thesis from the Angelicum in Rome. And it's a history of the theology of the devotion. Connor O'Connor wrote whatever it was, the introduction, and I think he called it a preface that I wrote for the book. It is, I think, the best, I know it is, the best book in English on the devotion of the Sacred Heart. It would be very useful for you people to read it, because we're going to promote, first of all, the Eucharistic Crusade, but also devotion to the Sacred Heart is not just another devotion. It is, as one pope after another has said, it synthesizes all the devotions of the Church, concentrating on God's love for us. First of all, God as God, but Christ as divine, Christ as Redeemer, dying for us on the cross, and then his love for us in the Holy Eucharist. And Margaret Mary received revelations which the Holy See has approved, and her director, as you know, was just canonized a little over a year ago, Claude Colombier. In any case, this book is available. You see copies are around somewhere, right?
They're down by the chapel.
Okay. Well, now, I hope I've made my point clear about, in other words, coming prepared to pitch in and do some work. To assist, for example, Eucharistic Crusade, to assist the bishops. To assist the bishops and other enterprises. So, shall we? Any questions, comments? Yes, Carol.
Before we leave, we would like to have a sign-up sheet so that everyone who's intending to come for Holy Week can sign up and let us know exactly how many will be here.
That's very important. Well, why don't we do this? Could we even do it? Do you have any commitments yet, Carol?
What?
Any commitments of people?
Not at all, no.
Now, what do we need? Thursday, Holy Thursday, then, it's 7:30, right?
Yes.
Well, what if we do this? Could you mind jotting it down, or verbally? What would you suggest, Carol?
If somebody has a piece of paper I can borrow. Okay, Lana has a piece of paper. Please just sign the paper and indicate whether Holy Thursday, Good Friday, February 12 to 3, Easter Vigil Saturday evening 7:30, and Easter Sunday morning 8 o'clock. There will be four different times, and so we need to know which days. So you could just sign the sheet with Lana.
Well, shall we do that now?
Yes, tonight. We would like that to be done.
Okay. So, now maybe I ask, in the meantime, sign it out, but may I ask for a raising of hands for Chief Holy Thursday, 7:30. How many could be here for 7:30 Mass? The other number? Now for Good Friday, 12 to 3. Good Friday, 12 to 3. Holy Saturday, Easter Vigil, 7:30, right? How many could make it for the Easter Vigil at 7:30? Then Easter Sunday, Mass at 8 o'clock. How many could make it the 8 o'clock Mass? Okay. If you change your minds, don't hesitate, but let us know in good time, because that's already next week. Okay. Carol, does that help? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Concerning the Eucharistic Crusade, we wait for Bishop Timlin to contact, like, our local...
Now, I tell you what. In my meeting with Bishop Timlin 2 weeks ago, I told him we'd have a meeting sometime in April. Well, Dolores and John are coming in from Washington. She suggested that we meet with Bishop Timlin at a formal meeting in Chicago. See, that's early April, and then settle then. Now, That's now the meeting. The exact. He'll be there for the 4 days: Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it may be. That's another thing. It wouldn't be a bad idea if I knew how many are coming or what day or days they could be there for the Shivong meeting with Carlos Sanchez. And both Carlos Sanchez and the Ponuncio. And of course Bishop Timlin.
So we can't come to that later on in the day then?
Please?
We can't come to that sometime in the middle, because my only problem was coming Friday at 12 o'clock, really.
I would like to slate the meeting for the one day when most of you could be there. Now, and as far as Bishop Newman goes, he's going to be there all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Friday and all day Saturday, and Sunday till noon. Now, which day for those who can come, which day would be better, Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Saturday would be better. Okay. Well, let's plan. Then Bishop Tillman, I'll ask him to come. Well, he'll be there to meet with us on Saturday. Now, again, will the morning or the afternoon be better, or the evening? Well, but Saturday, let's settle on Saturday. Now, it's a 6-hour drive, isn't it? 6-hour drive, is it? To Chicago. And I'd be willing, although I've got to be there on... Carlos Sanchez is coming in on Thursday, so I've got to be there to meet him on Thursday. In fact, I'll meet him at the airport. I want to... This is... it may be worth saying. And, of course... obviously, there's one person I know best, this sinner. There has to be, and this is what I'm praying for you people, a deep commitment to the Holy See. In other words, the Marian Ignatian Catechists, one of the conditions is that there's a love for the Holy Father, there's a dedication to the Vicar of Christ, to the Holy See. There's a desire to work for them and with them, and no matter what cost. When Rome tells me to do something, I never ask questions whether I can do it. Never. I never ask, how am I going to do it? I never do. Just somehow. That's why we're here. Richard?
Father, may I pass out the letters that I received from Siberia? Here, and then the printout on the election of the bishop, appointment of the bishop for Russia, and the appeal.
Now, this is what you have drafted?
Yes, this is the articles right here, the two letters, and then the third, the petition. These are all signed by Jesus, by the way.
Well, I haven't seen those yet, have I, Richard?
No, you haven't.
How can I see them, please?
Okay.
Do you have copies?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Read are the letters received from Russia.
Sure, thank you. Well, then let's close with a prayer, okay?
Father.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death,
amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us and every
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And let's forego our visit to chapel. By the way, this is customary in the Society of Jesus. You never start things without a visit to chapel. Let's make a visit to chapel, but no formal prayers, okay? Thank you.